You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
By the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things. You go to Florida, you find a very different attitude about immigration in certain places than you do when you're in Arizona. So it's a very different, a very diverse community.
August the 7th, 2020. And with those words, Joe Biden let the secret out. It's the worst kept secret in the Democrat Party, but you're not supposed to say it, Joe. You're not supposed to let everyone know the Dems have had and continue a mindset that black voters are a voting bloc. They follow each other. No individual thinking. They are a herd that can be easily corralled and led to the polling booths, where they can always be counted on to always, always vote Democrat. And Joe Biden, just in those remarks, said, but the Hispanic community, you have more diversity, you have more thinkers, you have more opinions. In other words, you're thinking and black Americans really don't think. They just have the herd instinct. It's blowing up in his face, as rightly it should. You know, for all the remarks and claims that Trump is racist, we have seen repeated remarks out of Joe Biden that says he's racist. Do I think he's racist? No, I don't. But if you're going to start putting labels on folks, it would go first to Biden. Those remarks you just heard, racist against black Americans, that you aren't like the Latinos. Latinos have varying opinions and views, where you, black Americans, you only have one thought. You only know one thing, and that's what we've been counting on. But Joe, again, that's inside the Democrat Party playbook. You're not supposed to expose it like that. And of course, Biden's also said to a black anchor the other day, questioning him about, have you taken a cognitive test? Said, no, man, why should I do that? Did you take a cocaine test before you started interviewing me? Suggesting the black anchor was a drug addict? Or you want to go back to the time when Biden recently was on Charlemagne the God and said, to Charlemagne the God, who's a black man, said, well, you don't know by now that you should vote for me instead of Trump. You ain't black. Now, who gets the term racist really applied to them where it fits and sticks is Joe Biden, not Donald Trump. But again, we're going to get into that over the next 2 hours, how Biden has absolutely exposed the left for what it is. This is exactly what Trump had pushed when he was originally running against Hillary. Said, what have the Democrats done for you in decades and decades of controlling cities, counties, and states, and your situation has not improved? What do you got to lose by giving me a chance? And 8% of the black Democrat, 8% of the black voters did say we cast our ballot with Trump. And some are saying that number could be north of 12, north of 15, maybe close to 30% this time around. Also, Pelosi doing an interview with Jim Cramer on CNBC Squawk Box, and she's saying Republicans don't give a damn about minorities. Also suggesting Democrats do if the minorities stick to the script and vote Democrat. That's what she's really saying as well. We'll get into that. And the Portland violence, the mayor of Portland, now condemning rioters, saying what they've been doing and trying to burn buildings down, that you're attempting to commit murder. But he also adds, and what you're doing is giving B-roll footage to help Trump's re-election campaign. He seems more concerned about their actions appearing in Trump campaign ads that will help Trump get re-elected than the folks who are being targeted by the rioters and could be harmed if not killed. New York City crime continues to escalate. What's going to be done about it? John LaBoutière joining us in New York from his view. Unemployment numbers out, and they're looking great. but I want to contrast them with pre-COVID numbers and show you what's happening. And Larry Kudlow, National Economic Council Director, says he believes President Trump will break this deadlock between the Senate and House with an executive action to add some provisions to help get more money to Americans sooner than what we're seeing happen at this time with politics going back and forth. And New York Governor Cuomo announcing schools across his state, quote, are authorized to open for the 2020 school year. He's going to let parents and teachers make their decisions and move forward, saying they have the ultimate determination. But he declares New York State, despite COVID, is ready to open for schools. How's that going to reflect across the rest of the nation and the lockdown? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Your order to disperse immediately. Failure to comply with this order may subject you to citation or arrest and be subject to the use of crowd control agents and or impact weapons. To those outside these precincts, this gathering has been declared a lawful assembly.
Continue dispersing from the area. You are subject to arrest if you do not disperse.
Another night of violence in Portland, Oregon. 70 straight nights now. And you heard the police order, you have an unlawful assembly, you were ordered to disperse. And the crowd doesn't. The crowd looks for more ways to create mayhem, chaos. And of course, they're not attacking the federal courthouse anymore because Fed agents have walked away and let Oregon State Police take over. But as I told you, when the mob gets its way to get federal agents out of Portland, they will then turn to the other police agencies, and they're right back after the city police in Portland. There were three separate gatherings last night in Portland. Two of them remained peaceful. The third was not a protest group. The third was a rioting group, and they came with that intent. They brought spray cans to spray paint the building as they attacked the East Precinct Police Headquarters. They dismantled security cameras. Police had to describe it at that time as an unlawful assembly and ordering the crowd to disperse, as you heard. And, of course, not only are they attacking that, but innocents get caught in the midst of it. Apparently, a couple of elderly people actually were there trying to stop the vandalism, protect their police department, and they were hit with paint. Thank goodness that's the only thing they got hit with. So the police officers, in addition to Oregon State Police troopers, moved forward to force these protesters to disperse. They had to move at them twice They'd started breaking it up at 10 last night, and after midnight, they still had more than 100 in the streets, and one officer severely hurt by a large rock that had been thrown with them at them. By 2:30 a.m., the majority had finally left the area. But police were already aware that they were going to be under attack last night because they intercepted a tweet from something identified as the PNW, Youth Liberation Front, that called for round two. See, this is the way these rioters, these mobs are doing. They're using Twitter and communications like that to tell everybody, hey, here's where we're going to gather, here's where we're going to attack tonight. This is what they're doing, and this is why Fed agents have been rightly and correctly intercepting such messages, because they're advocating anarchy and violence, not First Amendment gathering a peaceful assembly. Let me let you hear from a Portland police captain describing what was taking place at the Portland precinct last night.
They had tore off the protective boards that cover the facility because of the condition that the city is in with people displaying violent acts towards the police and the facilities. They took the boards and they put them between the handles of the door to lock the people inside. They piled those boards up against the building and they used accelerants to light it on fire. Prior to doing that, they disabled all the security cameras and they shined green lasers in the lights of officers' eyes so we couldn't see what was going on.
You heard that part, didn't you, where he said they not only took off the protective covering on the windows, but they were putting pieces of plywood in the door handles so to block exits for anyone trying to get out, as they then tried to torch the facility and piled additional plywood and garbage cans filled with trash up against the building and set it on fire. Even the Portland mayor had to finally say, if you are doing this, you're attempting to commit murder. I'm going to let you hear from him directly, but he was saying, yeah, that's obviously an attempt to commit murder. But then he seems to be more concerned with the optics when those pictures go out, what it looks like to the rest of the nation, and not showing that his city is in disarray and under anarchist control, but what it does to help Trump get reelected. I've told you repeatedly, I know the COVID's going to be a big issue. The economy's an issue, obviously. But the rioting and the violence in the streets and the push to continue it and escalate it, that's going to be a big factor for a lot of folks. That's why you're seeing gun sales up all across the nation, record gun sales. And minority Americans are also buying guns because they also have a right to the Second Amendment, and they realize there may not be any police with all this talk of defunding, pulling police back. I'm going to have to protect myself. I told you yesterday about a survey, a national survey of 2,200, and it found that 80% plus of African Americans say they want police in their neighborhoods as much as they are now or even more. They don't want police taken out of their neighborhoods. You can fall into this trap that all black Americans hate police. They don't. Not all black Americans hate them. Many have problems with some of the actions we've seen, as I do, as do many other Americans, regardless of color or stripe or gender or politics. But you cannot simply say, let's abandon police or let's gut their funding so much they can't do their job. And the Portland Police Chief Chuck Lavelle, you heard from him a little bit yesterday. I want you to hear again because he made another point based on what was happening last night. Now, the day before, he said, enough is enough to Black Lives Matter activists who are out there and those other anarchists, Antifa, that you continue doing this night after night. At that point, 69 nights, and his officers had very little rest and time to break down and before they had to come back. He said, enough is enough. And here's what he had to say about what was going on last night.
This is not about a movement. It's not about Black lives. It's not about racial justice. It's not about police reform. It's planned, coordinated attacks on police officers. And I feel that lives hang in the balance.
They obviously hang in the balance. His officers' lives, civilian lives, They have tried to take a stand in Portland. And as the federal courthouse is under attack, they really weren't stepping up to help protect the federal courthouse. And it's not clear where the order came, but you have to believe it came out of the mayor's office that just stand back, just keep them from rioting and causing problems elsewhere. But if they're going out the federal courthouse, let them deal with that over there. Let the Fed agents deal with that. But then when they decide the Fed agents have left and now Oregon State Police are taking over protection, well, then they're going to turn their attention to the local police. And, of course, by the way, they're still upset. And Portland City Council, the Portland City Council passed a bill saying the protective fence that the federal government put up around the courthouse to limit how close you could get to the federal courthouse, putting it farther away from the building, out toward the street area that you cannot get on the property, can't get that close, trying to protect it from things being thrown at the officers and the building. The City Council of Portland started issuing a fine for an improperly installed fence, almost like a zoning code violation that was meant to protect the courthouse. And the City Council issued a fine of $500 a day every day the fence was up. And now, at last report, I take it back, it's $500 for 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes it was up. And the tally now is north of $50,000 that they want the federal government to pay the city of Portland for violating this suddenly passed ordinance. You can't have a fence up around the federal building, even when you're under attack. And then the police precinct headquarters last night, and they were doing the same thing, by the way, on the federal facility. And you did not hear the mayor get concerned about the lives being jeopardized. We heard federal agents say, we got people inside the federal courthouse, and when they're ripping off plywood, throwing commercial-grade explosive fireworks in the facility, trying to start a fire, they're going to kill people. You didn't hear the mayor say anything. But now, last night, as the crowd attacked one of their police precinct headquarters, he had to admit that you have gone beyond just what you should do. Well, of course they'd gone beyond before that. But now the Portland mayor was actually willing to make some statements that said they were, dare I say it, that they were wrong.
Don't think for a moment that if you are participating in this activity, that you are not being a prop for the reelection campaign of Donald Trump, because you absolutely are. You are creating the B-roll film that will be used in ads nationally to help Donald Trump during his campaign. You don't want to be part of that, then don't show up.
That's the best he could do, to say that you're creating an ad campaign for Donald Trump when you show up and you conduct all these activities. And even if you're just showing up, egging on and encouraging the rioting, you'll be part of the B-roll footage. The police chief had said previously, before that statement from the mayor, when you commit arson with an accelerant, the mayor actually said it. When you commit arson with an accelerant and an attempt to burn down a building that is occupied by people who you have intentionally trapped inside, you are not demonstrating, you are attempting to commit murder. So the mayor himself admits, when you are doing that, when you try to set fire to a police precinct and you block the exits, knowing there are folks inside, as they were doing with the federal courthouse, but now a police precinct headquarters, when you do that, you're not demonstrating, you're attempting to commit murder. And you heard the police captain say they had spray painted over security cameras so we could not really tell what they were doing outside. They break a glass door with a 2x4, they light a fire with an accelerant, throw fireworks and other objects at the officers, trying to throw it inside, a truck trying to run over officers at one point, the front doors of the precinct barricaded as the fire was started, and they had at least 20 officers and civilian employees inside. Mayor Wheeler acknowledged, I believe that city staff could have died last night. I cannot and I will not tolerate that. This is not peaceful protest. This is not advocacy to advance reforms. He has known that for obviously more than last night. Last night marked 70 nights. Did he not realize it before then? Or he just thought, politically, I can't speak out. The one thing he tried to do politically was go mix in with the crowd. Remember one of the nights he went, and the crowd turned on him, and he had to take his security detail around him to try to protect him and get him out of there, as they were yelling at him, resign, you're doing nothing, you're not helping, you know, and also, why don't you come back tomorrow night? Are you just going to hang around tonight for a photo op? So he thought, I can't go back and face the crowd, that's for sure. And of course, don't forget, earlier this week, rioters vandalized and broke into the Portland Police Association office. But again, the point from the mayor that he's really concerned about, all these protests that he knows are riots, not protests, and they did them with federal agents and the federal courthouse, and now with his own police. He said, our community must say this violence is not Portland. These actions do not reflect our values. And what you're doing is creating B-roll to help get Donald Trump reelected. That's his biggest concern. What you're doing is helping Donald Trump get reelected. Or he should have spoken out long before now that the acknowledging that they're not protesting, they're rioting. New York City, of course, continues to see the crime escalate as they've cut money from the police budget. Former New York City Police Commissioner Kelly, you'll hear him coming up on the other side of the break as to what New York City needs to do to protect the citizens. And if it's going to happen anytime soon, that's coming up right after this break.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What you need is a proactive, well-trained police officer to address violence on the streets of New York City. And as I say, he's basically eliminated much of that capability by ending the anti-crime units in the department, which have been effective tools for fighting violent crime for decades. So you say, where is it going? I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I think we're going to be in this situation at least for the next 18 months, as long as this mayor is in office.
The words of former New York City Police Department Commissioner Ray Kelly. And he says, as long as de Blasio is in office, we're going to see the troubles inside the police department, and they'll be reflected in what happens to the city, its safety record, and the citizens. And, of course, if de Blasio is replaced by another Democrat, it's not going to change anything in Kelly's opinion. Because the left has bought into the fact that we've got to defund police. They have cut $1 billion. $1 billion from the New York Police Department budget. Well, there's an op-ed today in the New York Times saying, can they still be effective if they lose $1 billion? And, of course, the New York Times editorial writer, who's on the staff of the New York Times, says, yes, they'll be just fine. They've cut down and reduced the gang. In fact, they absolutely dropped the gang, undercover gang efforts. They've moved school safety officers, agents from the NYPD to the Department of Defense. Well, that's not enough for many on the left, as we've heard Ocasio-Cortez say. When we say defund the police department, we don't mean move money. We mean take the money away and put it into other things, not somewhere else for police to use it. And we got a coalition of 18 police unions in New York State that have banded together with plans to oppose the city's recently approved police reform bill. One union spokesman says it's political grandstanding by Bill de Blasio. It's the so-called diagram clause of the city reform law, spelling out prohibited police actions, sitting, standing, kneeling on a suspect's stomach or back, the diaphragm. It all goes back, of course, to the story with George Floyd. And it goes beyond the so-called existing ban on chokeholds. But the issue is, you continue to restrain officers on what they can do at that moment. You're going to charge them with a crime when they're trying to get somebody under control. Now, when they got them under control and they continue, that's where you should have an issue. But are we going to see, pardon me, are we going to see the crime reduced anytime soon in New York City again, the former police commissioner Kelly.
In terms of crime, I don't see things turning around in the near term. The deployment of police in these areas, that's a good thing to do, but it's much more than that. It needs much more thinking as far as what to do as far as addressing violent crime, and it needs a aggressive, proactive approach, which we're not going to get from Mayor de Blasio and his administration.
Clearly we're not. And again, they've signed on to reducing it $1 billion on the budget. You don't live in New York City. You don't have anybody up there. You don't care, right? You ever go there? You have business there. You have friends and relatives that might go through there. The crime rate going up something like 230% in 1 week compared to last year at the same time in shootings. You don't think there's a problem and an issue? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by former U.S. Congressman John LaBoutière, who lives just outside New York. I want to get his take on some of these latest efforts to defund the New York City Police and how it will or will not create more crime and danger for anyone going into New York City. John is very candid in his remarks, and I expect the same today. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Before we get to John, before this hour is out, I'm going to tell you that there's a new public health crisis in California. Recognized by lawmakers, a new public health crisis has nothing to do with COVID, has nothing to do with people defecating and urinating on the streets. It has nothing to do with anything that can be cured by a shot or vaccine. But it's a new public health crisis. I'll explain a little bit later. John LaBoutière, former U.S. Congressman from New York, joining us. And, John, always glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you for inviting me, Larry. How are you?
I'm good, sir. And, of course, John, folks, lives just outside New York City. They've not been able to use New York City restaurants. And at last report, I don't think they have. John, today the governor said the schools across the state can open. Are they going to open the restaurants and other businesses?
Apparently not for inside dining. They're open now for outside dining. In the city. Now, out here, I'm on Long Island. I'm 30 miles from Manhattan, and we've been open for, I don't know, 6 weeks outdoors, and then a few weeks last they opened indoors, although I don't see too many people eating indoors. The weather's been great, so eating outdoors is okay. But New York is slowly sort of getting over this thing, or coping. It's not getting over it. It's coping with it, and I think we're doing okay.
Are you surprised that he's now declaring that schools across the state can open when the Chicago School Board just decided we're not going to really open? L.A. or California saying they're not going to open their schools at this point?
I guess I am a little surprised, but, I really don't know. I mean, if they think they can do it without it spreading the virus, then we need to open them. But if it's going to be a super spreader environment, then I don't know.
He's just saying
they can open. He's not ordering that they open.
No.
I think it's still going to be up to each school district whether they open.
Right. He said they will be the ultimate determination. No, it's not an order like he issued to nursing homes that you had to take COVID-19 patients back in your nursing home. No, it's not
right.
an order.
And then, therefore, kill everybody.
That's exactly what was going on, putting them into a Petri dish where they were lab experiments till they died and putting them in the midst of others who are vulnerable. Now, aside from that, you have New York City imposing all these quarantine restrictions, and the de Blasio saying they're putting up checkpoints of people coming in from at least 35 different states. I'm wondering about folks coming in from Long Island. If you've been in restaurants in and out, are they going to let you go into the city? Are they checking to see that you can come in? I mean, you could be COVID dangerous as far as New York City is concerned.
Well, that's a great question. I haven't been in the city since March 10th.
Oh, wow.
When this thing began, I just haven't gone. But I have friends of mine who are going every week, and a friend of mine went on Monday and then came out Tuesday before the hurricane hit, because we had that here this week. And no checkpoints on Monday or Tuesday going in or out of the city. Now, they've just been reported as being put up, so maybe they will stop everybody. I don't know. It'll be a logistical mess. If you've got roadblocks checking people on the bridges and the tunnels, watch out. I mean, because so many people drive into New York City, I don't know how they could do it.
Well, let's turn our attention to then the policing issue and crime in general in New York City, because de Blasio and his board going on with a $1 billion cut from the city police budget. Before you joined us, we were running clips and remarks from former New York City Police Commissioner Kelly saying that this is the wrong thing to do, and it's going to increase crime, and he doesn't see it's ever going to be changed until you get de Blasio or those with that mindset out of office.
First of all, my general rule is anything Ray Kelly says on policing, I would listen to it. He is a fantastic commissioner twice of the New York City Police, and I think he was head of the DEA years ago for a while. And he was a Marine in Vietnam. I mean, the whole thing. A guy is just an outstanding human being. And I have no doubt we have another year and a half of de Blasio. He will leave this city, New York City, in way worse shape than he inherited it from Mike Bloomberg. Bloomberg coming after Giuliani, those two guys really got New York City back, being the best city in the world. And like Dinkins before Giuliani, de Blasio has taken this great city and hasn't ruined it, but he's put it on the path to ruin. Let's put it that way.
Well, of course, some of it, the COVID-19, he can't be held responsible for that any more than Trump can. But when you cut a police budget by that amount that you're trying to trying to appease the far, far left to defund police, how can that possibly benefit the city, its tourist attraction in the future, and all that's reflecting?
Right, and the crime rate has shot up here.
Yeah.
partly as a result of that. Plus, de Blasio stop and frisk, and, you know, generally conveyed a laxer attitude about crime. Whereas the election of Giuliani, I'll never forget it, back in 93, that really signaled a change in New York. We'd had Mayor Dinkins, first African-American mayor of New York, a very nice human being. But the city went to hell in a handbasket under him. People were calling it Calcutta on the Hudson. It was so bad.
So you've had I'm sorry.
Then we had Giuliani for 8 years and Bloomberg for 12 years. So that's 20 years of ostensibly Republicans running a major city. And at the end of that 20 years, the city was solvent, safe, clean, pretty damn good.
So now you've got many of the ultra rich and those a little bit below them leaving New York City, going to their homes in Connecticut or wherever else, the Hamptons, and the governor Cuomo saying, I'm begging them to come back, offering to buy them a drink or fix them dinner. And de Blasio says Cuomo's wrong to ask the New York City wealthy to return. In fact, Cuomo says, you shouldn't even be buying cars. That's really got to be good for the car business in his city.
Oh, God. And by the way, there's a pattern to this because, 2 years ago when Amazon was going to make this their alternate headquarters?
Right.
Long Island City, which is part of Queens, part of New York City. It's not my Long Island. It's called Long Island City. Huge place. And it would have been a huge boost to that economy. I mean, billions of dollars of private money injected in here. And the left, from de Blasio on down, blew it and drove Amazon out before they ever arrived. And That's a pattern in New York and other northern states where they are so restrictive on business that the businesses say, screw it.
Taxes, right? The taxes only are private and business. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, people are leaving in droves. You say going to Connecticut and the Hamptons. The big place they're going is Florida.
Yeah.
Because there's no state income tax. So, you know.
Well, you know, the only point is that Cuomo was trying to deal with those still close by. He thought you're close enough that you can come on back, you know, and I'll cook you. I mean, when the governor of the state says, come back, I'll cook you dinner. First of all, he said, I'll buy you dinner. I don't know where he's going to buy it. It has to be an outdoor restaurant, obviously. But or that I'll cook you dinner, you know, and de Blasio says, you're wrong to even ask them to come back. We don't need them. We don't need their stinking dollars. Is that what he's saying?
I guess so. And that guy is so bad, that de Blasio. Whereas I think Cuomo, for a Democrat, is pretty good. Now, I don't really dig Democrats, but up here in these states, Republicans can't get elected anymore statewide. There are no Republican voters to elect them. And, you know, I think Cuomo understands capitalism up to a point, but the left so runs these politicians that they just have to do all this liberal nonsense. And you saw it in California the same way over the last 30 years.
Right.
And what's happened? California's perpetually broke, and the Republican and middle class base has packed up and left the state. And they've gone to Idaho, Oregon, Nevada, Arizona.
I've got a quote here from Cuomo that says, our population, 1% of the population of New York City, pays 50% of the taxes.
Yeah. Well, then why would you want to drive that 1% out?
Correct. Which by the way,
it's not fair. It's not fair to make them pay that much tax.
Now, the other thing I'd mentioned briefly a moment ago, what de Blasio is also saying, and you don't need a car. Don't even bother getting cars anymore. In fact, he said, my advice to New Yorkers, don't buy a car. Cars are the past. Future is mass transit, biking, hiking. Going forward, I'll never buy a car again. But correct me if I'm wrong, does de Blasio take public transit around New York when he's going to?
No.
Oh,
he's
in a private car? Really?
Yeah, of course. He's got the police driving around.
Yeah.
The only one, by the way, well, Ed Koch used to take the subway every now and then. But to his credit, Bloomberg took the subway from his own house where he lived. He didn't live in Gracie Mansion. He took the number 6 Lexington Avenue subway down to City Hall every day. The richest guy in the country, for God's sakes, is taking mass transit.
Well, John, as always, I'm glad to have you on board, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well, and I think we are slowly working our way out of the COVID-19. The unemployment numbers continue to improve, but I just always appreciate you giving us some of your time, sir.
Thanks for having me, Larry, and I'll talk to you again soon.
We will do it again. John. John Labugier, former U.S. congressman, also author of the book, by the way, Harvard Hates America. I'm going to spend time one time just on letting him discuss that book. It's been out for some time, but it'd be worth going through. All right, as I mentioned, they are now declaring a new public health crisis in California. And you cannot find any vaccine or any cure for this that can be easily given in a shot. Not COVID. It's not even the fact that folks are defecating on the streets. That's not their epidemic either. It's a public health crisis, but what exactly is it? I'll explain.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, as we were saying, the New York governor has declared that schools in New York State can reopen. He said, I'm going to leave it to the districts and the parents to decide how they're going to go about it, but they are now allowed to open in New York State. Georgia schools had students returning to class this week, but some of the students are quickly learning. They're quickly learning about censorship if they didn't know it before. The schools in Georgia are saying, we recognize wearing a face mask is a personal choice for families. We're not mandating masks be worn. That's according to one of the school districts. But, of course, encouraging. But that same school district also warned students, if you put any video up or post anything that depicts our school in a negative light, you will be punished for such social media activity. Well, one student decided to take pictures of all these students crowded, no social distancing, going through the school, changing classes, most without any mask. And for that picture, the students published this piece of video, and the school declared it propaganda that's bad to his school district and punishing the student. Suspension, something, they've yet to decide. We pointed out to you yesterday that the Chicago School Board was going to go ahead and open up Chicago schools. But then our boots on the ground reporter in Chicago, Andrew, said, but then we got this from the Chicago School District, outlining they were not going to open the schools, and in part stating that when they did a survey, only 1 in 5 black families and 1 in 5 or so Latino families were going to send their kids to school. And if that many black and Latino students were not going to be going to school, the Chicago board decided, we're going to shut the schools down anyway. So the black families who wanted their kids to go to school suddenly are told, no, we're not going to do it because many other families aren't. And if you're white or you're Asian, you're American Indian, nope, your kids aren't going to go to school either. We're going to make a determination simply because of families that are not going to send their kids. Well, there's a suburban Chicago school district that's also coming up with an issue. This includes students in Evanston and Skokie. And they have said that when we do reopen and we allow schools to have students in class, because of inequity and racism that preceded COVID-19, we're going to prioritize black or brown students to come to class in person. The others will not be allowed to come until those who are black and brown come and no more want to come. Is that racism? Let me see. I guess the best test is let's turn it around. Let's say the Chicago School District of Skokie and Evanston decided, not Chicago, suburban, said we're only going to allow, when we open, only white students to come. Would that be racist? Oh, I think that's your answer, isn't it? All right, I mentioned that in California, the lawmakers are now declaring a public health crisis. I have pointed out to you, I don't know how many times previously, in San Francisco, when you got people defecating on the streets, urinating wherever they choose, sometimes in front of businesses, sometimes in restaurants, sometimes in front of plate glass windows while folks are trying to dine, and of course chasing those customers out never to come back, until the businesses finally had to shut down. They lay off people, finally had to shut down, put more people out of work, maybe on the streets. And all the possibility of diseases in the midst of the streets between that and drug needles being thrown everywhere. And not only in San Francisco, but L.A. and other such cities. That was not considered a health crisis. They just didn't declare it a health crisis. When COVID-19 surfaced, they declared, this is a health crisis. Now we need to do something. And what they chose to do is get the homeless off the streets, not because they were defecating and urinating everywhere, but put them into hotel rooms paid for by city and state funding because of COVID-19, trying to stop it. But that also has turned into a boondoggle, as we know. Drugs being used in these rooms, sex parties and so forth, a meth lab found in one of them recently. But now come the lawmakers of California laying out plans to have another public health crisis declared throughout the state. Racism will be declared a public health crisis in California. Racism. You will not find a vaccine that apparently is going to cure it. But the lawmakers, along with some medical professionals, are saying, this was our aha moment. The need for this declaration has been there for a long time, but in government you need to build consensus, and many times you wait for the right people to get in office. You heard that, didn't you? We had 4 other supervisors who were afraid to support this resolution. This needed to be said aloud. This is San Bernardino, reportedly the first county in the state of California to pass the measure that racism is a public health crisis. They got the right people in office. You keep that in mind when it comes to the November election. And coming up in the next hour, as I mentioned in the opening monologue, Joe Biden exposed the Democrat playbook, saying things he was not supposed to say because it'll be used against the Democrats. We'll break it down for you. Coming up in the next hour, please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.